tradition, the rabbis in the time of Yeshua would stand up to read the word and sit down to teach. That's why we have the tradition of the Bima, where the Torah is read standing. And Yeshua, you know, it says throughout the scriptures that Yeshua sat down to teach the people. This is part two of a message. There will be stuff that I will repeat from time before, because I don't exactly remember what I covered before exactly. And it's never a problem to share these things again with you. And as we go through these things, you need to understand that I have not reached perfection in these areas. If you have any doubt, just check with my wife, Lori. She will fill you in on all the areas of which I'm still lacking. Some of these areas, this is not a complete list. This is some of the things that we're going to do. I'm going to cover a little bit of a disclaimer, and then we're going to jump into it, okay? All right, I hope you're ready. So, I have a note here that says I should slow down, so I'll slow down a bit. So, this message, we're not going to get into the differences between the law of Moses and the law of Messiah. We are not going to focus on any particular single scripture, but we will look at various principles throughout the entire counsel of God. It's going to be a bit of a rapid-fire smorgasbord of a lot of information. And the theme of it really is living a godly life. Take some notes. We're going to move fairly quickly. You don't necessarily need to use your scriptures. We're going to have the scriptures that you need up here in a few minutes. Over the course of my life, since I have become a believer, I have had many people ask me questions like the following. Since we are no longer bound by the law of Moses and the 613 commandments, what am I supposed to do now? What are the commandments for a believer's life in the time of this age of grace by which we live? What am I supposed to do? And we're going to talk about walking by the Spirit. And if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Let me share with you that doing the commands of Yeshua in this age we live, this age of grace, is impossible without the Spirit of God living within us. If we follow the commands, he asks, as a mechanical checklist, all we've done is a bunch of good deeds that other people will be impressed by, but will not be pleasing or bring glory to God. Remember that during this time that we live, remember that during the time that the animal sacrifices were going on in Jerusalem, it wasn't just the killing of an animal or even saying a prayer. That person had to be truly repentant and understand that that was for him. There had to be a real change of heart. So we can't really do these things, even with the law of Messiah, in a mechanical sense. It really needs to come from the Spirit of God living within us. And of course, without him living within us, it's impossible to do these things. In the same way, the Spirit must be guiding each believer in paths of righteousness. We need to have the Holy Spirit living within us and guiding us. And the only way that that could happen is if we personally receive Yeshua and pray to the Father for his forgiveness and receive the Spirit's guidance within us. Okay, so the first one we're going to cover is talking about biblical authority. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable. These godly men, the leaders of your congregation, have given up of their lives, their time, and a good chunk of their time, their energy, their personal time, their money, and their freedom to counsel you in the way of righteousness. Don't be like the horse, which requires to have a bit placed in its mouth to be forced to go in this way or a particular direction, but choose the straight path of godliness. If you follow the guidelines of these godly men, then you will be under the protection of God's authority. Oh, I wonder what happened to that. Did I not? Oh, look at that. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I've been told by the crew in the back that I need to learn to push the right button here. There we go. Should have left that up to them. Let's see if that works better. Much better. Okay. Okay. So, We need to place ourselves under the authority of the leadership of the congregation so that we will be protected from false teachings. God actually has four areas of authority that we see, and they are government, where you work, your family, and the congregation. And God has a certain order in all of these things. And just to give you by example, the government does not bear the sword for nothing, which is what Paul reminds us of. It is set up with authority to keep society in order. Even so, God grants authority to the local congregation so that the work of the kingdom can be done in proper order. We know that there is a heavenly hierarchy with angels and greater angels over certain areas and over other angels, and certain angels which are basically foot soldiers. Everybody has that role to play. It's the same way in the kingdom of God on earth. We need to submit to the congregational leadership, and doing so we will receive a blessing as we work together to build up the kingdom here on earth. So, a wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. If you want to know the will of God, set some time aside, an hour, a day, a week. Get under some sound teaching. Dig in like a kid with a bowl full of ice cream. Get it all over your face. Immerse yourself in some good, solid teaching. Avoid anybody's teaching that does not completely line up with the Word of God. Some people will say some things from the Scriptures, and then all of a sudden something does not quite there or line up. Oftentimes the evil one will put a lot of truth together and like try and stick a little bit of lies in there. And the only way we could really discern truth from lies, if we know what the Scriptures have to say, you have to look at it yourself. By the grace of God, I have sat under some really good teaching, and I consider it my responsibility to share some of the principles that I've learned with you. Remember that as a man thinks within himself, so he is. So as Irving said, I think last week, so what's in your wallet? What are you putting into your head? Are you holding resentment, or are you giving acceptance? Are you holding a grudge against something that somebody has done to you? Remember that when Yeshua was dying on the tree, he said to those on the execution squad, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When we are wronged and we need to remember that the person causing us grief doesn't know what they're doing, because if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do it. Just as the people who took Yeshua's life, if they realized the gravity of the situation and what they were doing, they would certainly want no part of it. And the people that bring us trouble at times have no idea what they're doing. They are, for the most part, deceived by the world system. They don't have the Spirit of God living with them, and they don't have that inner guidance to move to the next stage. If you want to know God's will for your life, why does he not give you particular guidance or counsel in a certain area? It could be that we have not listened to the basic counsel of the Lord. To obey your leaders, to follow the authorities, as long as they don't violate biblical principles. To not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. If you follow the basics of the faith, if you are submissive to these primary principles, the Lord will reveal to you more and more about his will. But if you've not followed the basics, the elementary teachings of the Scripture, you're not ready to go onto the high school level. Don't sit there and wonder why God is not answering your questions about a specific mate for your life on a specific day, if you haven't taken the time to follow what the Scriptures say, to love others, to give of yourself, to spend time studying the Scriptures. As you do those things more and more, the Lord will reveal more and more to you. When we do the basics, we will have more and more learning. We'll go to that next stage, and the Lord will reveal those deeper things to you. But it's like a parent-child relationship. Unless that child is tuned into the parents and is already doing what the parents have directed that child to do, the parents are not going to lay a great burden upon that child, knowing that he's not ready for that responsibility yet. So do the basics, and as we keep doing those, we will learn more and more. Oops, jumping ahead. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent, because you're going to become like the people that you hang out with. Lori and I want to spend our time with healthy people. For as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Why? So we could have healthy relationships. When I was in high school, I hung out with the space cadets. Guess what kind of person I was? But the Lord, by his grace, took me to a new place. Remember that birds of a feather flock together, and you've heard that misery loves company, and complainers like to complain to each other and talk about their pains and the medication they're on. Success loves company too. And they may be in pain, and they may have problems, and they may be on medication, but that's not who they are. It does not describe the core of the central person who is them. Successful people spend their time talking about ideas and what they can do and how they can help others. I've heard it said that small-minded people talk about people, medium-sized people talk about things, and great-minded people talk about ideas. Who do you want to hang out with? What do you want to talk about? The deeper question is, what type of people are you hanging out with right now? You may want to change your company. I also find some people just do not have the time or the desire to hang out with me. There's just not a connection, or they don't want to spend time with me. Sometimes sinners are convicted of their sin when they're in the company of the righteous. When they say an off-color joke, or they make a statement which is really negative, or they might say something to the order of, you know, I really hate myself, or something like this, and we go in and, you know, we try and tell them that they're loved by God. They don't want to hear that. They want to stay in their muck and mire. I think Dave Ramsey said that it's like a baby in a poopy diaper that doesn't want to get changed because it's warm and they're happy there. But it may not be the healthiest thing for them. We need to spend time with like-minded people so that we will be challenged to improve our station in life and where we're at, and to be challenged with right and wrong, and to become more like the Lord. Like I said, this is going to be a hodgepodge, so we're on to the next thought already. My son, if you receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, and make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. This goes back to the big why. If we choose to live our lives for the kingdom of God, he will meet all of our needs. We will have healthy friendships. We will be able to discern right from wrong. He will protect us from the plans of the evil one. This does not mean that we're not going to have problems, but we will begin to see our problems as the tools that the Lord is using to shape us into the character that we need to be. I will just tell you very quickly that obviously Lori and our family have been through a trial of late with Deborah with her cancer, and it has been difficult, but the evil one has not received a victory. The Lord is using this so that we will rely completely upon him in all situations. What happens if we forsake the ways of the Lord? We will wind up with a life filled with lies and bitterness. We will make poor choices for ourselves and for our family. We will start down a path of destruction. We will harbor anger in our hearts that will ultimately damage our bodies over time, in the form of sleepless nights, ulcers, sickness, and disease. Talking about choices. It is the fool who says in his heart that there is no God. That's from Psalm 14. I know of a young man who does not listen even to this day to this, who would not listen to the sound counsel of his father, or even follow the rules of the society which are meant for his protection. This young man left the safety of his home when he was much younger and went out in the world, was caught up in the music scene, eventually got into drugs. He never took personal responsibility for his own actions, but blamed others for the problems in his life. The quality of his work is poor. He can't hold down a job. He cannot support his own family. He cannot keep his marriage together. To this day, he rejects the counsel of God and the Almighty's plan for his life. And he has also passed down this curse to his descendants. The legacy he is leaving behind is one of anger, fear, an unclear mind, double-mindedness. He says one thing and does another. Basically, he is not in control of himself, or he is out of control. I meant to put this slide up as I was talking about that, which would describe this individual or any person that continues to reject the counsel of God. They become like a city with their walls broken down. They're easily taken over as a person has no control over his spirit. And the only way we can have control over our spirit, we can't do it ourselves. The Holy Spirit needs to be guiding us. For the goodness that comes out of us is not us, but the Lord himself. It is the Spirit of God that needs to guide us. Otherwise, our spirit will quickly get out of control. No man can reject the principles of God and live a happy, healthy, productive life. If you want to receive this type of end result, you need to desire, and if you desire to have peace, joy, and happiness, then you will need to decide to, for yourself, to follow godly principles. And remember, this can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit that is living within you. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but the fools gulp it down. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. You need to get your finances in order. You need to get your finances in order so that your financial house is in order, you'll have one less pressure, and that you'll be able to help others. You need to live on a budget. I use this app on my phone called MyFitnessPal to like log everything that I eat so that I know I'm not eating too much or too little or getting enough exercise, and I can like track it. It's the same thing with your budget. You need to kind of budget what's going to go where so things don't get out of control, and so that you have your portion set aside of what you're going to do for the Lord's work as the Lord puts that upon your heart. Not many people here remember a gentleman, Jim Krug, who used to come to the congregation. Jim was an executive with Exxon, and I don't know how much he made, but he made a lot of money. And he lived in a house which was a nice house for Livingston, but he could have certainly afforded to live in a gigantic house. And I think he lived on about a third of what he made. And his wife Barbara supported family, friends, charities, congregations, missions, and that was their desire to do. They were just givers. So my counsel is live on less than what you make, and you'll probably be a whole lot happier. I also learned a principle from Dr. Fruchtenbaum, who, when I was talking to about scriptures, what he would do is when he received his income, he would just take a certain percentage of it right away and just kind of slice it off, put it in a separate account. And as that account grew and there was a need for any particular individual, whether they're going on a missions trip or whatever that was, the fundings were already there to do that, to help others. So just some ideas there. You need to give to your local congregation, for they need your support. God does not need your money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What he wants to know is, are you capable of handling the small things that he has given us so that he can give us more that we will be responsible for, not only now, but in the kingdom to come? We need to know the character of God, what he's really like, and what does God want to do? What does God want us to do? What is God's character really like, and what does he really want us to do? For he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. And to go quite along with that, going about who God is and understanding who he is. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I not been so long with you, and yet you've come to me, and yet you've not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? You want to know what the Father is like? You want to know what God Almighty is like? Look at Yeshua. Look at his character. Look at his person. Look at the example of the obedient son, Yeshua. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. When you meet other people with respectful, obedient children, what does that tell you right off the bat about the parents? If the children are out of control, does that send another message to you? Yeshua led by example. He lived a pure life. He helped others in need. He gave of himself. He poured out his life so that others could live physically and spiritually in the presence of the Father forevermore. When Ariel was 6 years old, I used to take her to my office in Jersey City, and she used to work with the owner's wife, whatever odd jobs they had there. And, Ariel would speak her mind. She was a young lady. And some of my coworkers said to me, like, aren't you afraid of what she's going to say to them? I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, what if, like, she would repeat something like she heard you say at home about your boss or something like that? I go, she could repeat anything she wants about what I said at home about my boss, because by God's grace, my thoughts were pure and I had respect for what he did and where he was at. I know some people who might have different words to say about their employers at home, and their children might pick up on those things and might say those things out loud. And so you could tell a lot about the parents from the children themselves. And so with the Lord. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Learn the scriptures in their context. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, knowing right from wrong. Learn the meaning of the holidays and their fulfillment. Be ready to give an account for your faith, so that when the spirits prompt you to share your faith, you've got something to share. If you haven't put anything in, nothing's going to come out. You should be ready to give a clear and concise and correct testimony about what the Lord has done in your life. You may want to take a week or two or some time and go to a retreat or a Bible conference or study and get away and get under some sound teaching. I will highly recommend Camp Shoshana as some in-depth study, as a time to really dig into the Word and really understand these things and get away from everything else. Know the application of our faith where the rubber meets the road. In these few days that we have left where we walk in this world, study to show yourself approved. Follow the scriptures and the guidance from the written word, and you will be on the right track. If anyone gives you counsel, be sure it is in alignment with the word of God. If it does not line up with the scriptures, reject it and get your counsel from godly people. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. Years ago, when I was out of work, I was counseled to put a second mortgage on our home because, you might need the money and things might come up. And you're really not supposed to, when I applied to the bank, I gave them the information of where I was still working, even though I knew that job was coming to an end. And so, number one, I felt uncomfortable that the bank didn't have full information. Number two, I didn't feel comfortable because I was borrowing money against my house where I lived. And the scriptures say that we need to pay off our homes and we need to get out of debt as much as possible, and I would have been incurring more debt. I just felt convicted on this principle, and I decided I was not going to follow through with it. The Lord did meet of all our financial needs. We didn't really have abundance, but we had no lack of need. The Lord really took care of all that we needed and more. Sometimes in the lean years that we go through, the Lord really shapes us because we are relying on Him and He's bringing out our character. We know that the process of the Lord working on our character is not one that's pleasant. The scripture gives the example of, not the scripture, you could think of a jeweler who is polishing a piece of jewelry, taking a piece of silver or gold and roughing it up and putting it under a buffing wheel. We don't like to be taken and put under the buffing wheel and roughed up and polished and ground down and all of these things. But yet the jeweler has a greater plan for that piece of material. The Lord God Almighty has a greater plan for us. We need to be like the clay in the hands of the potter. We need to be soft and pliable. If we're rigid, we're going to be broken. We need to allow the potter, the Almighty, to shape us into the person that we are to be. I often find that people who have grown up with little tend to be very appreciative and thankful for everything that they have. And some people, not all, who have grown up with much have a sense of entitlement that they're owed something. We need to understand that in everything we need to give thanks for everything that the Lord brings to us, whether we have little or whether we have much, the Lord will always meet our needs. He doesn't promise to meet our wants. He promises to meet our needs. Don't worry and don't be afraid. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet none of them falls to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. And I'm losing those day by day. So do not fear, for you are worth much more than many sparrows. When you study the scriptures for yourself, you will know the future. God will reveal to you all that you need to know, and you don't have to worry about the future. Yeshua says, "You are my friend. I know that, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you." He is letting you in on some of the things you need to know. We just wrapped up a study with our home study group about the sequential events of the tribulation. Why? So that we will not be swayed by every wind of doctrine that comes down. When we see people talking about these true or false biblical signs, we will not only be able to recognize if they are true or false, but we will know what actions we need to take. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runs to it and is safe. So we need to understand the scriptures so that we will know what actions to take. We won't have to fear because the plan is clearly laid out for us. We will be in tune when we see scriptures that are true. And our ears will go up when we see things that do not line up with the scriptures. Peace I leave to you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Set your mind on peace. Don't let your head be filled up with a million thoughts, but seek to know the will of God. I've met people that really didn't want to deal with the current situation that they were in. And in order to forget about it, they fill their mind with facts and figures and knowledge and information about other people and who's on the copy of People magazine and who's in the paper and who's running for this election. And they do this so that they don't have to think about their own situation. And they push analytical thinking out of their own mind. They fill it with facts and figures instead of deep thoughts and contemplation about the Lord and what the Almighty is really like. When they do this, they lose their ability for critical thinking, and they become distracted. They see every bird that passes by. They lack focus. Their thoughts are all over the place, We need to seek a quiet place and go to our prayer closet and get some time alone with God. Natural settings are really a great place. They help a lot. Be at peace within your spirit and clear your mind of distractions. When our nephew Noah stayed with us in the beginning, he kept saying, "I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored." And this is because he lived in an environment of constant input, where the TV was on and there was electronics and the noise and the radio, and they were running from one place to another, and it was never a quiet moment. The goal of this world is to fill people's heads with so much noise, confusion, facts, entertainment, and stimuli that they have, that the idea of having some quiet time to reflect upon the goodness of God and all that He has created and provided for us is washed out in a flood of overwhelming data and noise. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways," says the Lord. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." People are constantly trying to find their own way to God, to reach out to Him instead of taking the lifeline that He has thrown down to us. We see this in Genesis 6, that God really wanted to have fellowship with mankind, but mankind says, "Let us make a tower and a way for us, and we'll make ourselves a name for ourselves, and we'll build a tower, and we'll get to heaven this way." But that ultimately, that was destruction. The Lord extends His loving kindness to us. We need to take it. We should not be seeking a name for ourselves, but we should be exalting the name of the Lord, as He will be praised forever. We need to join His winning team and stop fighting against the current. Remember, for Paul, it was hard for him to kick against the goads. What does that mean? A goad was a stick that the shepherds used to get the sheep in line. It had a very sharp, pointy end on it, if you can imagine, like a big, fat, hypodermic, that kind of really like sharp thing. And the Lord says, "Paul, it's hard for you to be kicking against the goads, against these sharp sticks." But we find ourselves doing that. We find we want our own way. We want our own way of doing these things. And ultimately, who does this hurt but ourselves? We find that by God's grace, Paul received the lifeline that was extended to him. His life was changed. And it is the same with us. The Lord extends His opportunity to us to basically join Him in what He's doing. And you know what? It's not even us, because when the Spirit of God is calling us, we cannot even fight it. It draws us in by His loving kindness. As I was looking at this verse, there's about 100,000 things you could speak about this, but in the context of what I'm talking about, this is the first commandment. Have faith in God and trust Him, for this is the first commandment. "For I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." How many people has the Lord dropped the ball on? We fail in our own commitments all the time, both willingly and unwillingly. He never fails us. Understand your position in the kingdom. You are a child of the King. He watches over you. He protects you if you seek His will. However, if you go your own way and do your own thing and expect Him to bail you out at the last minute, He might. But He may allow us to pay the price for our own disobedience and hard-heartedness. Be like an obedient child in his father's house. Don't be like the horse that requires a bit to be placed in his mouth to be directed. Would you like to be asked what to do and do it willingly, or refuse and be forced to go kicking and screaming inside and out? Soften your hearts to the will of the Almighty. Don't harden your heart, so that if you harden your heart, you may meet the same fate as Pharaoh, who hardened his heart against God. Remember that these momentary light afflictions that we're going through are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed to us. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Serve in whatever situation the Lord places you in. Do the work that your hand finds in front of you to do. Serve at your job. Serve in your home. Serve in your congregation. Serve in your community. Make a difference. He will reward you in this world and in the world to come. We are created to do good works before the foundation of the world. Work at, you know, the things that you do, word will get around on them. You know, when I had my home repair business, I would get recommendations and recommendations and recommendations. And then eventually I found myself working in the homes of some very important people. And the scripture says that you will stand before kings. You will not stand before obscure men. When to keep silent. Even a fool, when he compresses his lips, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. We should be quick to listen, slow to speak. And here's some good counsel. We need to keep our mouth shut sometime. Kasa la boca, sheket bravaka sha. Say it any way you like. Sometimes there's a time to keep your mouth closed. Don't say to your friends, did you hear about this one or that one? And make an excuse that we should pray for that person. If somebody has asked us to keep a matter in confidence, there is only one other person that you could tell. And that's not your spouse. It is the Almighty himself and he alone. Don't say to your close friend after hearing a confidential matter, can you keep a secret? This is what children do. We need to become mature people of God. Do not entrust a matter of confidence to anyone. Do not pass on what you have heard about others, for this is slander. So, back in the old country, when they were back in Europe, there was a young man. And he found out some information about his friend, and he believed it to be true, and he went and shared this information with everybody in the entire town. And it turned out the next day that none of that information was true. And now this young man basically had slandered his friend and didn't know what to do. So he goes to the rabbi of the village. And he says, Rabbi, this is the situation. I've spoken bad of my friend, and it wasn't even factual. I should have kept this matter confidential. And the rabbi thinks about it for a minute, and the rabbi says, get me a chicken. And the young man goes, what, are you hungry or something? The rabbi goes, bring me a chicken. Okay. So this guy goes out. He gets a chicken. He goes, pluck the feathers off the chicken. Pluck the feathers off. Pluck the feathers. Okay. He sits there. He plucks all the feathers off the chicken. He goes, give me the chicken. I'm going to have dinner now. On your way home, I want you to drop one feather, like every few steps, and then come back tomorrow. Okay. He goes home. He drops the feathers bit by bit. He gets home. Next day, he gets up. He goes to see the rabbi. He goes, okay, what should I do? He goes, go back on the path that you came and pick up the feathers. He goes, what? He goes, they're like, go and get the, he goes, searches high and low, finds two feathers. He comes back. He goes, I only found two feathers. He goes, yeah, it's really hard to take your words back, isn't it? It's hard to take back what's scattered. We need to keep our mouth closed. We need to keep matters in confidence. If somebody says something to you, whether it's good or bad, we need to keep that matter confidential. The Lord will really bring it out. You know, I got a bunch more things to say, but I guess this is going to wind up going to a part three on this message. I appreciate your time, and I don't know if I can really top another story about the rabbi, but I would counsel you, if people give you information, keep it confidential. And I'll wrap this thought up with, none of these things which I have shared with you today are possible to do on a consistent basis in a way that would bring glory to God unless the Spirit of God is living within you. And the only way that could happen is if you have personally received Yeshua the Messiah in your own heart. If you have some questions about that, certainly see myself or the rabbi. I'm here for you. I'll pray for you. If you have questions about anything I covered. All right. Thank you.